Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Our good buddy Gary Moore is with us. He's our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. Over 10 years now he's been a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, also Faithful Finances 101, and he's our top investment advisor in the Brain Trust. Gary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you again, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. You just got back from Augusta. You were there on Saturday. You were one of what, 100,000? How many people were there at the Masters?
Jim, I have no idea. I couldn't estimate it. That place is so huge. It's about 600 acres, and people are spread everywhere, and they're constantly moving. Of course, We just sat down to the 13th green, which is so beautiful. But everyone else was just kind of following Tiger and Mickelson and so on. But I'm lazy, and I just got a seat and just sat down and watched them come through.
Right.
Kind of the way I fish, Jim.
Yeah.
And long story short, I couldn't begin to estimate it, but what a fabulous experience.
I have not been there. I keep thinking I'm going to get over there one of these days. It just slips up on me so quick every year, but it's a good thing. I know as a Kentuckian, you were pulling for Kenny Perry. I was too, because I just like the guy. I like this game. I like his behavior. I just wish he'd hit a 3-wood on 18 at a 7-iron instead of what he did. I mean, surely he knew his driver was going to wind up in the trap.
He was he's a class act. I mean, even in losing, the way he applauded Cabrera and so on. I mean, he did the state of Kentucky extremely proud, Jim.
Yep.
I was just so proud.
But
of
it changed.
Him.
It could have changed his life. I mean, his life would have changed completely if he'd won. I mean, it's amazing what that tournament can do for a professional golfer. I only have one thing to say, Gary, with Cabrera. Cabrera won the Open a couple of years ago, and I like him. I think he's probably a good guy. He won it fair and square. He won the Masters. But after he won the Open and he had to have an interpreter, I said, okay, Angel, take some of the money you're winning, all this money you're winning on our tour, and learn some English.
No,
you know, that's my only nit with him, is learn some English just enough just to carry on a simple conversation. He can do that. I mean, Jose Maria Olazabal did, and the other guys have. Learn some English.
Only you would think of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a good guy. I really do. I like following him. I like his game.
Guy.
I like watching him. But, you know, let's just learn a little bit of English. That's all I ask.
Boy,
hey, Gary.
Yeah.
One of these days, we'll have to go over there together, if you and me.
Oh, that'd be great. But you're going to have to get me an Arnold Palmer's tournament, though.
Ooh,
so I can birdie the 18.
Boy, that was fun. Now, I enjoyed that. Was a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
hey,
I
Gary, about 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't understand why, and I probably mentioned this to you in your visits here.
Yeah.
I didn't exactly know why, but I started getting this feeling that Wall Street was at cross purposes with Main Street, and I started saying that.
Yes.
I didn't understand what some of these toxic assets that they were putting together. I knew that they were leveraging them. I knew that they were, again, I didn't know what was coming down the pike. I wasn't that smart. But something told me, my instincts told me, that Wall Street was increasingly working at cross purposes with Main Street, and those instincts were correct, weren't they?
Yes, they were, Jim, and I came to the same conclusion back in the days of Michael Milken in the late 80s.
I'm almost 30.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is I wrote a book, and in essence what it's all about, and Peggy Noonan wrote a beautiful editorial in the opinion page of the Wall Street Journal this weekend.
Yep,
about,
I saw that.
Did you see that? Since 2001, basically the top of Wall Street has begun taking care of itself as opposed to the rest of the country.
Right.
And Jim, that's what I realized, is that it's natural, me being a political science graduate and knowing something about history, that always tends to happen. We call them oligarchies, where the rich become powerful just because of their wealth. And in the case of Wall Street, your hedge fund managers and so on. Always remember that for every buck that was lost in these toxic assets, somebody made a buck.
Yeah.
And there's hedge fund managers on Wall Street who got filthy, filthy rich off of this. And they say, you know, well, we didn't cause the problem of, you know, of it all melting down. And they're right to a certain extent.
If they sold short, they may have, though.
Well, that's what they did.
If they did short selling, they did, didn't they?
They figured out how to do the short sales on the mortgage-backed securities using mm-hmm. credit default swaps and so
right.
on. And they did.
And to take some, and also to take some of these banks down.
Well, that's exactly
they
right.
They shorted the banks, too, and that created a problem. We're going to come back. Gary's going to help sort this out for us, folks, because Wall Street and Washington got us into this thing. But small business owners, you and I are going to have to get us out. 20 sales, stay with us.
Cross the Mersey, cause this land's the place I love.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
Little Jimi Hendrix bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, one of the classics. Just like our good friend Gary Moore, he's one of the classics too. Gary is the author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
.org. Check that out, folks. Also, spiritual investments. Also, you've got some a CD too, right? A CD system.
Yes, I just went and did a lecture at one of the largest churches in America, and most famous, all morning. Is a seminar and kind of a lecture, I guess. But they recorded it, and it's being produced as a CD, and it's called The Gods of Wall Street. And people don't realize it, Jim, but there was actually a morality created. We've had two economies in this country, the real economy, we call it, and then mm-hmm. the financial economy
right.
for many years, and that was all very purposefully designed. People don't understand that, and it's based on a morality that's quite different from the Judeo-Christian morality that built this country.
Tell us about it.
Well, there was a lady named Ayn Rand, A-Y-N-R-A-N-D.
Of course.
Most influential person in the
Fountainhead.
World.
Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged. Do you remember the last line of Atlas Shrugged, Jim?
Do you remember the last line?
Yeah, John Galt makes a new symbol over the world to replace the cross, Star of David, and so on. And it was the sign of the dollar. And mm-hmm. in essence said, the moral purpose of your life is to make a buck. Now, here's the important part about that. Judeo-Christianity had, in essence, said it's okay to make a buck as long as you're producing something that's good for other people. That's what built this country. We call it the Puritan heritage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
invisible hand that Adam Smith talked about.
You got it. The bakery. You remember Adam Smith talking
yep.
about the bakery
mm-hmm.
and the guy produces bread for other people. Now, he might be primarily concerned with his own livelihood, since we are rather selfish creatures, but still he did something good for other people.
But also the true invisible hand is where you and I intend only to benefit ourselves, but in the business of ourselves, we actually help society without intending to.
Well, that's correct, Jim. Okay,
there's intentional and unintentional.
if you read, and here's the key, in your new book, that Adam Smith became famous for writing a book called The Theory of Moral Sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins by saying, however selfish soever a man may seem, there's something in his principles that make it necessary to him to see others prosper,
right,
even if he gains nothing from it. So
that's the overt, that's the more active of like the sort of the visible hand, not the invisible hand.
You got it. What he was saying is he observed self-interest as an economic force, and it is. However, he said to be fully human, you have to go beyond that. Okay,
right.
And you have to give, practice charity. Well, what Ayn Rand said, in essence, is the purpose of your life is to make money for yourself. She told Playboy magazine one time, you know, mm-hmm. forget this stuff about charity. And companies have no business engaged in social activities, doing anything for other people. As Milton Friedman famously said one time, the only social responsibility of a business is to make money. I.e., if AIG can make money for itself and tax the American taxpayer and so on, so be it. It's not mm-hmm. their concern what happens with society. And that's exactly the morality, I think, that created this entire mess, because what mm-hmm. you had on Wall Street is, in essence, Greenspan, who was Rand's most famous disciple, was
right.
creating money that would flow through Wall Street, and they would just trade it around. And we called those earnings, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the peak in 1999, Wall Street was getting 40% of corporate America's profits.
Hmm.
When I entered Wall Street in the late 70s, we were getting 10% of corporate America's profits. And in essence, if you owned a big internal trading company doing proprietary trading, they were gathering, siphoning those dollars off of the system. Jim, to be honest, it was a sort of parasitic behavior. Did you ever have mistletoe in your part of the country?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you've got a little mistletoe up there, you can, you know,
it's
part of God's plan, and frankly, young boys can use it to great advantage, okay?
Exactly. I've used it many times.
Yes, and that's about the only way I could ever get lucky when
right.
I was a kid and get a kiss. But long story short, Jim, if you get too much of that parasite on a limb, it's going to break and it's going to fall. And that's exactly what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
We had so much parasitic behavior in this country on Wall Street, people not producing anything, indeed taking productive capital away from
Taking capital out by repurposing something and creating more leverage, more danger, more risk, but without creating any new value.
You got it.
Without putting any new value. What have we learned from all this, and how do we stop this from happening again?
Well, it's already happening, Jim. I mean, the thing about selfishness, Sir John used to say that he used to tell me, forget yourself, take care of your client. And all this other stuff was backwards, taking care of yourself and forgetting the client. But what's happened now is Wall Street has burned its bridges. Of course, the guys got off, and they got their millions, and are on a Caribbean island somewhere.
Yeah.
But in essence, the rest of us, think it through, Jim. For the small businessman, this is probably a good thing, because what I'm seeing is my clients are telling me, I don't want to ship any money in New York, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to keep it in a local community bank or whatever, and all of that money then is going to be forced into
Main
Street.
But the problem is that system of getting the capital out to Main Street is not as efficient as the other one was.
It's not as efficient, but it's more effective, Jim.
But we got to create those channels, though, Gary. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm seeing, we've got to take a quick break here. The only thing I'm seeing out there that might resemble some kind of a reasonable channel to get that money into Main Street are some of the angel networks that were popping up across the country.
Well, yeah.
Hold on to that thought. Gary Moore and I will be right back. It's 10 till. Stay with us. And this is crazy. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, the Reverend Al Green, bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Thank you for using it. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You can see a sample right there at the homepage, off of the homepage, I should say. The blog is right there. You can see what we've done, some recent posts that we posted on the blog. Be sure to leave a comment if you think you want to. And, of course, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, and all the other things there at our Small Business Advocate website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something that will help you with your small business, the one you got, the one you're growing. Gary Moore is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Faithful Finances 101 is his newest book, which I highly encourage you to read, From the Poverty of Fear and Greed to the Riches of Spiritual Investing. Gary, talk us down off of our ledge and tell us how where all this is going. You've explained to us some of the things that got Wall Street at cross purposes with Main Street. Wall Street is just literally a shadow of its former self right now, isn't it?
Yes.
And so what is the phoenix that's going to rise from these ashes? As Norman Cantor wrote in his book, In the Wake of the Plague, what is going to manifest from this plague?
Peter Drucker described it in his book called Post-Capitalist Society, which he wrote back in the mid-90s, Jim. And he says, we are actually undergoing the largest transition since Plato and Aristotle. And believe it or not, he actually predicted that the concept that would form the new economy and political economy is the concept of responsibility. He said we have to start taking responsibility not only for ourselves, as Wall Street's been doing, but also for a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Some wise guy said that about 2,000 years ago. Take care of yourself, take care of a neighbor. It's the only way the system works. If I take care of myself, follow this, and I go up, but my neighbor goes down, what happens to culture?
Mm-hmm.
It can't make progress, Jim. And to make progress, we've all got to advance together and look out for each other's interests. And what is coming, there's a movement out there, been there for years, that Sir John was interested in, called the communitarians, not communism. This was based on private property, but where people cared about one another with their private property. Just yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, there's a school of investing now called socially responsible investing, where, yes, you want to make money and look out for your self-interest, but you don't want to hurt somebody else doing it, which admittedly is an art rather than a science. But in essence, money is continuing to flow into those investments where it's coming out of all the other investments on Wall Street.
Well, you were ahead of this. You were ahead of this long before this meltdown. You were focusing on the ethical investing.
Jim, what's amazing is the Financial Times is now doing a series called The Future of Capitalism. It's a marvelous series. And in that video that you've got, I quote over and over on it, where they are in essence saying the future belongs to this concept of private interest, private property, but with a social concern.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we've been preaching for 20 years, and Sir John was teaching and Peter Drucker was teaching.
Sir John Templeton, right.
Oh, those two guys were just absolute prophets, and people did not pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter Drucker, in a Forbes interview, no less, asked Steve about it, back in the mid-90s, said that the CEO compensation issue, in his words, was disgusting, like watching pigs at a trough, and shocked everybody. But he predicted that when it all came to a head, that it was going to permanently hurt capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about...
He was right about that.
Well, nobody listened to those guys. Of course, we never listened to prophets.
Well, because they were heretics. Those guys were heretics.
Well, everybody...
Like Martin Luther.
Yeah, Sir John investing, you know, with an ethic and patiently and all of that. And now, all of a sudden, everybody's come back to that one more time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been taught for millennia, as your book begins by saying, but it's just nobody learns these lessons. You have to repeat them over and over and over again.
Well, see, that's the thing that's encapsulated in Charles McKay's book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. He chronicles century after century of things like this that have happened, human beings, and now, you know, we've had bunches of them in the last 100 years, just like it, and it's, I keep coming back to this one thing, Gary, you know what the problem with humanity is, don't you?
Humanity.
The humans. It's
you know,
the humans.
The old political saying is that the problem with socialism is socialism.
Yeah.
The problem with capitalism is capitalist.
Yeah.
In other words, it's the system's okay, it's the people that
Exactly. What is it? Jerry Seinfeld said, the people, they're the worst. Hey, hey, Gary, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always good, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, smart guy. We're glad he's part of our brain trust. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.